name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is May 17th, year 2009, and it's the fifth Sunday after Easter. And today we're going to talk about the apostate antipope Benedict XVI, also known as the Rat Man. To make it short, that's what I'm going to refer to him because he's worthy of it. But the Rat Man went over to apostate Israel to justify them, to bow down before the beast, and to kiss the foot of the Antichrist and the people of the Antichrist. This he did during his visit. You're also going to see his humanistic heresies about how all men are good, about that the world can have peace without Christ. All his heresies are going to be involved, because this church exists off these heresies. They don't acknowledge really original sin. They may give it lip service, but there's no real effect for original sin. They don't acknowledge the penalty for mortal sins. They don't talk about mortal sins. Against the faith, which are the worst ones, and against the morality, which is bad too. And all these mortal sins will send you to hell. As a result, they don't talk about hell. They're humanists. They talk about how we can bring utopia to the world without the Catholic God. While we have all these different false religions together, and there can be some type of a peace. So they deny the peace that only God can give, and they talk about a satanic type of peace. But you're going to also learn that the Rat Man is not just really a humanist. He's not just that. He's also really an avid supporter of apostate Israel. His hypocrisy is going to show. Because if you're really a peacenik, which is heretical, you know, a peacenik is a guy that believes there's no such thing as a just war. There's no such thing as just corporal punishment or capital punishment. They're against the death penalty. They're against just wars. That's heresy. I went over this many times. I don't want to dwell upon it. But a real peacenik is going to be consistent. If he thinks all wars are evil, then all wars are evil. If he thinks that everybody who kills somebody is evil, then it's evil for everybody. That's what the Rat Man professes. That's what apostate antipope John Paul II professed. That all wars are evil and nobody should kill anybody. Which is really heresy. But you're going to find out they're not really honest with that profession. Because when it comes to Israel killing people, and when it comes to Israel going to war against people, that doesn't count. They sweep it under the carpet and ignore it. When it comes to Germans who killed people 50 years ago legitimately in the war, and even to the lie about the Holocaust, their dander goes up. Dander goes up about those big bad Nazis, and they accept the lie about the Holocaust, and they say, this is such an evil, people killing people like this and trying to wipe out these people. But in the meantime, when the Palestinians just got wiped out, just recently by the Israelis in Gaza, men, women, and children killed, 1,300 of them. Their land is illegally occupied by the Israelis, police forcing their lands and bulldozing their homes. Guess what? When the Rat Man went to Israel, he never specifically mentioned any of those crimes in current day apostate Israel. He kept his big trap shut, which proves he's not a real peacenik. He's not a real humanist. His real goal, this infiltrating, and I believe he's a Jew himself, is to support apostate Israel. He can't come right out and say it right away. He's got to lead people into it, waltz them into it. That's why he came out in the end. He says, I support a two-state solution for Palestine. So that they can have their own free country. But he really didn't say that till he was getting ready to leave. And his plane was on the tarmac. And he said it and then he can hightail it on the plane so he didn't have to face the Israelis. But he did it for a political motive so he doesn't get the Palestinians too angry and the European nations that are really angry at Israel right now. I'm going to read news reports that are going to back everything up I'm saying. Here this guy goes over and he's talking about how evil the Holocaust was. Which never even happened. And he's supporting Christ-denying Jews. He's now saying it's a mortal sin to deny the Holocaust, but you're blessed, you're a chosen person of God if you deny Christ. He kissed the foot of Christ deniers. He told them that they're holy. He told them that they're blessed. He told them they're written in the book of life. He told them they're saved. And you're going to learn, before he left even, he told the head Ashkenazi rabbi that he's no longer going to even have any missionary effort amongst the Jews to try to convert them. But this has already been said long ago. He's just verifying it. And in the meantime, when he went over to the Palestinians, told them, when you come over here, I want you to go to the occupied territories that are now completely being policed by the Israelis. The occupied territories where they actually took over the streets and everything and keep them locked up like in the little ghetto, the Palestinians. He said, no, I can't visit there. It's too controversial. Can you at least show the wall they built between us? They built up this big wall and blocked us out. And the Rat Man said, no, I can't do that. It's too controversial. Could you visit Gaza? Where they just got done killing 1,300 people, men, women, and children. The Rat Man says, no, I can't do that. But where did he go? He went to the Holocaust Memorial and cried tears over these apostate Jews and talked about how good they were and how horrible that so-called crime was. When there was a crime right next door to him. and he didn't even go in to look at it. Is he a humanist? Is he a peacenik? No, he pretends that. That's one of his faces, like a Janus. He's got two faces. That's one of his faces. The real faces and the ultimate faces that to support apostate antichrist Israel. He kissed the foot of the beast because he's a beast himself. He's a false prophet. And that's the job of the Vatican II Church, to go in there and to justify these people so all the nations will turn towards it. We're going to read from news reports about that in a minute. This little rat man, what he did when he went over there. Sniveling. What did the first pope do of the church, St. Peter? When he was in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday, he confronted the Jews. You were going to read about that. What did he do? He filled the apostolic mandate, which Jesus gave us in Matthew 28:19-20. Go forth and baptize all nations, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I shall be with you for all days to the consummation of the world. In Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And Jesus told us in John 3:36, he who believeth in the Son of Man shall have life everlasting. He that believeth not in the Son of Man shall not have life, but the wrath of God shall abide upon him. Did he go over there and preach those words to those Jews? Did he call one of them to conversion? Did he say once to the Jews and the Muslims, both of them, that you're both evil, that you're both outside the Catholic Church, that you both need to believe in Jesus Christ, that you both need to be baptized? You tell me where the man said that was. What kind of a man is this? He's worse than even a conservative Protestant, who at least says you got to believe in Jesus. Bad as that Protestant is, and he's bad. He's not as bad as this bastard that's going over there lying to these people. Instead, he tells them that they're all good, they're all children of God, and they're all on the road to heaven. That's what he did. When he went over there, to justify these people and try to bring some type of utopian peace amongst these different religious beliefs that God abhors. Where did he say any of that? And not only that, before he left, he even promised the Ashkenazi rabbi that he's not going to have any missionary efforts amongst the Jews. Because according to their heresy, the Jews are under a covenant with God, and they're pleasing to God, even though they reject our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus. They hate Jesus so much they don't want to hear about him. And what happened when St. Peter was confronted by the Pharisees? When he said, "You men of Israel, you crucified Jesus Christ, and I preach to you him. He's your only hope of salvation. You must believe in him, you must do penance, and you must be baptized." And they said to him, "We don't want you to speak to this man no more, Jesus, because you're causing a ruckus, and you're causing divisions amongst us." And then what did St. Peter say? Who's it better that I should obey? Men or God? I obey God. And he went out after they arrested him and he started preaching again. What did the rat man do when he went there? Nothing. He didn't preach Jesus. He didn't tell them they need to be Catholic to be saved. This man's the head of the Catholic Church when he repudiates the whole very foundation of the church. It goes back to the salvation dogma. You believe in a false Jesus. You're not in the Catholic Church. You're going to hell. They use the word Christian so it can almost include everybody. They give them a false confidence. They don't tell the Jews clearly that they're on the road to hell. They don't tell the Muslims clearly that they're on the road to hell. That if they stay where they are now, they're going to hell. So the devil is using the rat man to give these people a false confidence. But my proof to you here is he's not just a humanist or the peacenik. He pretends to be on one side. When it suits his peacenik mentality, he uses it. When he goes against Germany in World War II. But when it doesn't suit his peacenik mentality, he says nothing about the Israelis when they kill Palestinians. Unjustly. Men, women, and children. And they're going to ultimately wipe them all out and kick them out of that whole state. Where is this concern? What are the Palestinians? Goy cattle that have no souls? That's what the apostate Jews believe in the Talmud. That makes me really believe even more that this rat man is a Talmudic Jew. What is this, Gentile people worthless? Our Lord came to save Jew and Gentile, not just in the New Covenant era, but even back in the Old. Even in the days of Abraham, when he made the covenant with Moses, his will was to save Egypt and Iran, and back then they were the Persians, and the Iraqis, back then they were the Babylonians. God's will was always to save all men. He loves all men and wills for all men to be saved, not just Jews. And you're going to see racism in his visit. Racism in his visit. He said about all those people that died in the Holocaust, just because they're Jews, their name is written in the Book of Life. Just because they're Jews, racially. It don't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter what false god you worship. It doesn't matter what type of mortal sins against the moral commandments you commit. You're written in the Book of Life. Your name is with God. All those Jews that died in the so-called Holocaust are blessed and holy. He said it at the speech he gave when he went to the Holocaust Museum and gave adoration to the beast. when he bowed down before the Holocaust Memorial. Now we're going to read some of the evidence to show you what happened during this visit. If people were following it, they already know about this. Now the big thing, this is interesting even. Because bad as these people are in the Vatican, and they're all apostates, every one of them. They're not true cardinals, they got no office. But you got to even believe that maybe even a few of these knuckleheads, bad as they are still alive, and they can convert. And so I'm warning them. The ones right now that are in the Vatican even, wake up! Prophet Ezekiel sort of indicates there may be a few of them that will repent and convert when they see the destruction come. Not many. Very few. Most of them are going to be destroyed and sent to hell. But here's a so-called cardinal in the Vatican II Church. He's not a real cardinal. That before the Ratman visited, compared Gaza to a concentration camp like the Germans had. And he was saying Gaza, they're doing the same thing to the Palestinians in Gaza, what the Germans were doing to the Jews. Really, they're doing that anyway. Even when they say they have their own land, it's surrounded. And they can't go out, they can't go in. It's one big prison concentration camp. And now they're actually killing people. Something Hitler never did. He never planned to kill a Jew. That's a big lie. You got to look at my Holocaust hoax. That's a big lie. It never happened. And here's something that's actually really happening according to their dogma of no just war, no wars, and no killings. It's happening right under the rat man's face, and he's not saying anything. He didn't go over there and bring up the whole incident. Never spoke about it. Nothing. What kind of a man is this? Where is his credibility in the eyes of the world? But anyway, one of his own so-called cardinals, Cardinal Renato Martino, came out and made this statement, and I got this from the ADL website, because the ADL is the watchdog for apostate Jews. Anytime anybody speaks against a Jew and calls a Jew evil, he's an anti-Semite automatically. And they put him up on their website. Here's the article from the ADL website. That's Abraham Foxman runs that. January 12th, year 2009. The Anti-Defamation League condemned as shocking and disgraceful a senior Vatican's official's likening of the situation in Gaza to a Nazi concentration camp. That's what the guy actually said. Cardinal, so-called Cardinal, Renato Martino, a former Vatican envoy to the United Nations and currently the Pope's top official on issues of justice and peace, was quoted by Italian media as saying, the conditions in Gaza looks more and more like a big concentration camp, end quote. All right, now here's what the Fox Man says. What an appropriate name he has too, huh? Yes, Fox Man, he always say, we pray for your conversion too, evil as you are, but you're evil. And you're very evil and you're one of our worst enemies. Look what he says here. It is shocking and disgraceful that a high-level Vatican official would employ Holocaust imagery in reference to the State of Israel's attempt to defend its citizen from Hamas. Oh, wait a second. Jews dying in a Holocaust counts, which never really happened anyway. But Germans killing Jews, which they never really did anyway, but let's say they did for the sake of the argument, that counts for a whole bunch of stuff. But Israelis killing Palestinians, that don't count for nothing. And we're not talking, he's saying defensive. They killed men, women, and children and threw phosphorus bombs in there. And then when they were wounded, they let them lay there and die. Come on, the Germans never did that, folks. Never. The Germans treated their prisoners humanely, whether you believe it or not. They executed a few prisoners if they went against certain rules in the camp, but all their prisoners were treated humanely. They were given as much food as possible until near the end of the war, when they had no food for themselves, even there was typhus. So Germans killed Jews, big sin. Israelis killed Palestinians, no sin. And you know what Abraham Foxman is really saying? What he's really saying? These goy cattle Palestinian don't matter. How can you compare them to us Jews? Us Jews. We are perfect. We are good because we're Jews. We are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And none of us can be evil. But what did St. John the Baptist say to these Jews? Don't think that just because you're a Jew you're going to be saved. God can turn that rock into a Jew. And Jesus said to the Jews to their face in John 8, I know Abraham's your father, but if you were the true children of Abraham, you would believe in me. But your father is the devil. Jews being devils. Jews being evil. Most of Jews and the whole history of the Jewish race is evil. Most people in any race are evil. But when you start coming out and saying stuff like this, all right, now, because he got angry because his so-called cardinal made a truthful statement. This was before the visit of the rat man. The rat man goes there, and the Palestinians were begging him. The United Nations already condemned Israel for this. A lot of European countries are bringing this up and saying what you're doing is wrong in Israel. It's beginning to open up a little bit of opportunity opportunity for us to see the nature of the apostate Jew, how thoroughly evil he is. And the rat man goes and keeps his mouth shut. Oh, but he's crying about a so-called crime that happened 50 years ago. And there's a crime right next door that really happened of the same magnitude, and it would be the same magnitude if they let him go. My point is, if you let the Jews go, they'd wipe out every Palestinian if they could. And they will. You watch. Some may flee into countries and be spared somewhere. But their ultimate goal is to occupy all of Israel. Now, let's read about the article in here that we read about the Pope falls short of compassion for Gaza, the so-called Pope. As the Pope, the rat man, embarks on his... It doesn't say that here. I wish it did. You know, God also made him look like a rat, too. He looks like a little... Don't he? Like a little cheese-eating rat? He's not even, you know, it's typical because he's serving the Jews.
Exactly.
As the Pope embarks on his highly anticipated Middle East visit to mend fences with the Muslim world, the agenda of the Christian leaders' tour sparks controversy. Pope Benedict XVI arrived in Jerusalem, a city revered by all three monotheistic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. The last two old folks, as you know, are false religions. And even the Christianity that's in there is false now. On Monday, for a five-day visit aimed at improving Muslim-Jewish-Christian relations and offering support for the renewal of Israeli-Palestinian peace talks, despite what has been described as reckless disregard for human life in Gaza during the three-week Israeli assault on the Strip, a visit to the embattled area has not been included in Pope Benedict's itinerary. And we know, and he hasn't gone. The Pope is only scheduled to visit the occupied Palestinian territories that Israel really control, the West Bank and Jerusalem. Okay? He didn't even go into the place where they're occupying with the police force around there and bulldozing their homes. He didn't go there neither. He went to one place and he made sure the wall wasn't showing up in the background. That you will not read in here. They said, if you show that wall in the back, it's going to look like what we said. Wasn't the big thing about the... All the walls must come down. Carl Wojtyla, the so-called holy pope, who's an apostate anti-pope, who ended communism and told the Berlin Wall to come down. Now we got a big wall over there in Israel blocking out the Palestinians, and he keeps his mouth shut. He's D&D. What is D&D? Dumb, deaf and dumb. Duh, I don't see nothing. Why is that wall okay and the other wall isn't okay? You answer me. Are you going to stay with your peacenik philosophy or what? I call it a philosophy because it's false. Or not. You're double-tongued. You're supporting the Jews. You're playing the game just enough to keep the Palestinians not so angry, but you're full square in the camp of the Jew. Okay? They say the Pope is only scheduled to visit... Okay, this is while the plight of the Palestinian in Gaza Strip following a deadly Israeli assault on Gazian infrastructure has called international uproar. You even got some of these other apostates and bastards throughout the whole world in Europe even raising their voice up and saying, this is bad. United Nations, this is bad. And your real true peaceniks, this is bad. And some righties even, this is bad. And the rat man don't say nothing. And he doesn't go there neither. Didn't condemn it by name or didn't even visit. With countless schools, hospitals, and houses coming under heavy fire, the tragic humanitarian crisis which ensued left more than 1,300 Palestinians dead, men, women, and children. The densely populated Gaza inhabitants continue to suffer from the after effects of the Israeli attack, and they left them in there wounded to die without allowing anybody to go in there or give them food or medical help. This is what happened. Did he say anything about that? The Catholic leader's silence on Israel's January offensive on Gaza comes as a four-man United Nations investigation panel recently blamed Israel for its reckless disregard for human life during the war in Gaza. Meanwhile, the families of several Palestinian prisoners set up camp in front of the Red Cross building in Gaza City on Monday to protest the pontiff's visit to the family of captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. He visited one of the, I guess the Palestinians took a prisoner, one of the Israelis. This guy, Galit Shalit, and the ratman visited his family to console them for that one Israeli prisoner taken by the Palestinians. In the meantime, the Israelis' jails are full of Palestinian prisoners. Forget the jails. Every occupied territory is a prisoner in a concentration camp. Forget that. They killed 1,300 people in there and left them to die. He visits this one Israeli family, and he didn't visit no Palestinians. Where is the guy siding? Are you people that blind that you can't see that you're being messed around with? And if you believe it, you deserve it. Even the natural law can tell you what's going on here is wrong, that this man's a hypocrite. Either you stick with what you claim to believe in one day, but he keeps switching back and forth. And this is the nature of a heretic anyway, or a mortally sinful people. They're never stable anyway. They always shift. This guy happens to be the worst. Because he's trying to play two ends of the stick here. He says, the families criticized the Pope for not paying them a visit and taking no notice of the suffering of their sons in Israeli prisons. The father of Palestinian prisoner, Ali Ala Sarafti, urged rights organizations to focus on the issue of Palestinians held in Israeli jails and insisted that it was unfair for the people to attend to the concerns of a single Israeli soldier and ignore the more than 11,000 Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. Well, who's this rat man about? Don't lie to me, you bastard. I'll peel your skin off and pour vinegar on you. And I put it back on and peel it off and pour vinegar on you. That happens in hell forever. I can't do worse to him what God's going to do to this bastard when he dies. What I hate about it is his hypocrisy. I'd rather have you come out like the extreme Zionist who tells you what he's going to do. This guy plays two ends of the six. He denies our faith. He makes a mockery out of the Catholic Church. Folks, this is not the Catholic Church. I'm telling you 1,000 times. He's not Catholic. He's not a pope. He's an apostate anti-pope. And I got a bone to pick with even the bad popes, but this guy's even worse. He's the end result of all these bad popes. What hypocrisy you're looking at. He gets up and cries tears over the Holocaust thing for Jews that didn't really even die in the Holocaust 50 years ago, but let's say they did. But what about the Palestinians? You're going around and doing the same thing that you're condemning the Germans for. And you're not saying anything. Boy, this guy's an infiltrator. I can only say I believe he's a Jew myself, a Talmudic Jew. Or at least a top-level Freemason, for sure. Those are definite. He's one of those choices. Now, what happened here was because the rat man wasn't doing anything, this one smart Palestinian guy got up in front of the rat man. He pointed out these crimes. And what did the rat man do? He walked out on him. Look, Pope walks out over criticism of Israel. May 12th. On Tuesday, year 2009, Pope Benedict XVI has responded to a Palestinian chief judge calling attention to Israeli crimes by staging a walkout. He didn't want to hear it. Chief Islamic judge of the Palestinian Authority, Sheikh Taysir Tamimi, in a speech delivered at the Notre Dame Pontifical Institute in Jerusalem, fired a shot at Israeli conduct in occupied Palestinian lands. In the presence of the Pope, the Palestinian judge hit out at Tel Aviv for killing Gaza's children, bulldozing Palestinian homes, and destroying mosques. Tamimi also called for the immediate return of all Palestinian refugees and went on to urge Christians and Muslims to unity against political Zionism. However, before the meeting was officially over, the Pope shook Tamimi's hand and walked out. Director of the Holy See Press Office, Father Federico Lombardi, responded to Tamimi's remarks later by saying that it was a direct negation of what dialogue should be. What dialogue should be? What should dialogue be about? How was the apple pie you had last night? Who won the Super Bowl? Nice roses you have in your rose bush? What are you talking about dialogue? What ultimately matters in this world? Murder? Adultery? Rape? Worshipping false gods? This doesn't interest the rat man. It's what we get when we try to debate these people, these so-called Catholics, and they say, you're not allowed to condemn me. No ab hominem attacks. Don't denounce me. Don't condemn me. It's non-judgmentalism to its fullest. Let's concentrate on what we have in common and ignore our differences. So a guy can come out and rape every one of your daughters, and you can meet with that man and kiss him on the cheek and talk about all nice little things, but don't talk about him raping your daughters. And he's ongoing raping your daughters right in front of your own eyes. But for the sake of dialogue, we say nothing. We do nothing and we hear nothing. What kind of a dialogue is this? This is a dialogue straight out of hell. A dialogue from the pits of hell. Woe to you who call evil good and good evil. If you're going to tell me that's the only way I can dialogue with you, we ain't dialoguing. Because when I talk, I'm going to bring up these things. You don't like it tough. And we don't meet. He shouldn't even have been here in the first place. First thing I should have said in the beginning, no pope can ever visit apostate Israel. Not even visit the land. Because he justifies it. by his mere presence. The minute a pope even says that I may visit apostate Israel and committed a mortal sin against the faith, you are not allowed to justify apostate Israel. You're not even allowed to go over there and visit them. Because it's an affront to God. That state is the biggest affront to God because he told these Jews that when you reject my son Jesus Christ, I will cast you out of your land. I will scatter you among the nations. I will make you a plague for wherever you go. And I will bring down all kinds of pestilence and death upon you. And diseases and all kinds of evils. And you shall not have a homeland until you accept the Catholic Christ. That's why Israel is an abomination of desolation, a place where it doesn't belong, right? He shouldn't even be over there in the first place. You shouldn't even open up diplomatic relations and recognize that state. I said it before in other sermons that we can never condone or support the state of Israel for apostate Jews. Never. If they want to come to Israel, we're going to have our missionaries on the banks of the Jordan ready to baptize them before they can come in. Now, let's get on to his address at Yad Vashem. The Holocaust Memorial, which you notice even Obama went there, that McCain went there, they all go there. If you don't bow down before that image of the beast in Apocalypse 13:13 that the United States supported with her financial and military power and all her military technology, you aren't going to be accepted by the Jewish community. You're going to be labeled as an anti-Semite and you're out. But I said last week it's not just that, because even George Galloway, who the dummy believes in the Holocaust that it really existed, but he's opposing what they're doing in Gaza. Even he's an anti-Semite. But let's look at the rat man goes before this museum and he's praying at this museum. So first of all, he's giving credit to a big lie. Then he's justifying Christ-denying Jews and he's condemning Holocaust deniers. That's the only dogma that really matters, one of the big dogmas. Not just that one. Anybody goes against the Jews. But let's listen to what his sermon is that he spoke to in front of these Jews. Now first, before I do that, I have to read what St. Peter said before the Jews. And then we'll read what this monster said. What did St. Peter say before the Jews? Weren't the apostles supposed to be first go to the Jews to convert them? That was their primary job, to convert those Jews because they're outside the church and they need to believe in Jesus and be baptized to be saved? Acts chapter 2. Here's the first Pope St. Peter talking to these Jews. Ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you also know. This same being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of wicked men have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, most certainly, that God hath made both Lord and Christ, this same Jesus whom you have crucified. Now, when they had heard these things, they had compunction in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, what shall we do, men and brethren? But Peter said to them, do penance and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's telling these Jews, and a lot of them weren't even there present during the original crucifixion, you're all guilty of the blood of Christ, you all crucified him, and you have to believe in this Christ and get baptized in order to be saved and for the remission of your sins. That's what the first pope said to the Jews and when he was in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. We're going to go on in Acts chapter 4. Peter again, the first pope, talking to the Jews. And it came to pass on the morrow that their princes and ancients and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, and setting them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name hath thou done this? He did a miracle by curing a man, and they're all panicked because it was converting people. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye princes of the people and ancients, hear, if we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to this infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. Now, seeing the constancy of Peter and John, understanding that they were illiterate and ignorant men, they wondered. And they knew them that they had been with Jesus. Seeing the man also who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it, but they commanded them to go aside out into the council, and they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" Now, we're going to go on to this in a minute. You already heard him telling these Jews that you are outside the Catholic Church, that you're under the wrath of God, that you're guilty of the blood of Christ, that you crucified him, that you need to do penance and be baptized to be saved under remission of your sins. He didn't go there and say, "All you Jews are the children of God simply because you're the racial children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your names are written in the book of life." Is that what he said? Wait, you compare it to what you hear the rat man tell them when he lies to them to keep them on the road to hell. But here's the other part that gets you. Then he comes in and they say, "What shall we do with these men? These are the Jews plotting. For indeed a known miracle had been done by them to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It is manifest and we cannot deny it. But that it may no further be spread among the people, let us threaten them that they speak no more in this name to any man." In calling them, they charged them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answering said to them, "If it be just in the sight of God to hear you rather than God judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard," which we were commanded to do by our apostolic mandate. What did the rat man say? "I ain't going to speak about that man. I'm not going to call him to conversion because the Jews are going to get angry, and I promise never to do any more missionary efforts among you Jews." Let's read the article I read on that. This was after he left from the Ashkenazi rabbi, right after what you just heard there. Let's read that article. Here it is. Pope gives up the intrinsic part of priestly life. May 12th, year 2009. Pope Benedict XVI has promised to end the Catholic Church's missionary activities among Jews. Israeli chief Ashkenazi rabbi Yana Metzger says, "The chief rabbi made the announcement on Tuesday and thanked the pontiff for the gesture. I will not speak of Jesus amongst you." They haven't been doing it for a long time. This isn't nothing new. They came out long ago and said the Jews are already saved. There's another plan God has for them. They don't need to believe in Jesus. They don't need to be baptized onto the remission of their sins and do penance. How opposite of that is of what you heard St. Peter tell them, the first pope, and all the following popes, and when they converted people into the church. All the early apostles and saints teaching that. How opposite is that from what the rat man's saying? So it says, Metzger also hailed the Pope for reversing his decision to reinstall a bishop who was stripped from the post over casting doubt over the Holocaust. So he gets rid of the Holocaust denier and he kisses the Christ denier and says, "You're okay." And this was reported in the Jerusalem Post. All right. The Daily also reported that Chief Rabbi taunted Pope Benedict. Okay, they also said his apology over about the Holocaust wasn't sufficient when he said that he's sorry for the Holocaust and made that he poured out his guts, you know. But he didn't mention the Germans by name or the Nazis. He never said the Nazis, and he never said the Catholic Church was guilty. So they're angry at him for it. You can never please the Jew. I'm telling these people, when you work with the devil, he's got you going and coming. You can never please him. He wants blood out of a stone. He's all yours. You put your faith in these bastards, you deserve it. They are under such a curse as beyond comprehension. Now you heard me read what Peter said about these unbelieving Jews, about these Jews who did not believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Messiah and the Redeemer. And they still don't believe it. It's the same applies. But what does he say to them? And what does he say about these Jews at the Holocaust Memorial? Now, even if these Jews did die in a Holocaust, which they didn't, but even if they did, they were unbelieving apostate Jews who are now in hell, burning in a Holocaust that doesn't compare to any earthly Holocaust. That's why I say this visit also proves he doesn't believe in original sin, he doesn't believe in mortal sin, and he doesn't believe in hell. He doesn't believe in hell. If you believe in any things, you cannot speak the way this man speaks. They actually say that if anybody gets killed or anybody suffers, it's a great evil, and they blame God. They blame God because he's the ultimate one, that he's the one that brought the death sentence upon us because he disobeyed him. It's God who allows men to die. We're all going to die. We all got to die one way or the other. And then what happens after that? If you're not right with God, you go to hell and you burn forever. He's denying the dogma of hell. All this is included with these people. But now, we're going to end up by reading his sermon here that he gave at the Holocaust Memorial in Yad Vashem. Address of Benedict XVI at Yad Vashem, Holocaust, Martyrs and Heroes. Martyrs. He starts out.
Martyrs and Heroes.
with Isaiah 56:5. I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name. I will give them an everlasting name which shall not be cut off. They're already going, we're all saved, right? He's setting the pace, right? Everlasting name, wow. You mean just the name, or what about the soul? I mean, the name without the soul, that don't mean much, you know? You know what I mean? That's goofy. You're going to see goofiness here to the extreme degree. He puts a lot in the name here. The passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah furnishes the two simple words which solemnly express the profound significance of this revered place, Yad Shem, memorial name. Name Shem. I have come to stand in silence before the monument erected to honor the memory of millions of Jews killed in the horrific tragedy of Shoah. Forget the Palestinians who are right next door. Just got killed. They lost their lives. Well, yeah. Well, we're all going to do that. You know? They lost their lives. Well, even J.P. Tool lost his life. And now he's in hell, burning forever. So, this guy don't even believe that he's going to die, maybe, huh? That we don't have the death sentence. Why do we die? Let me ask him that question. Why does death come upon mankind? Because we're good? Because we've done something good? That's a reward? They lost their lives, but they will never lose their names. What does that mean? Like I read that to Ronnie. He says, what does that mean? What does that got to do with anything? I will never lose their names. What about their souls? He's implying that, folks. That's what we're going to get at, though. But, you know, I mean, your name will live on forever. Yeah, in either infamy or in glory in heaven. Your name's either going to live on forever in hell as one of the reprobates, not written in the book of life, or in heaven. Look at all this crap he talks about names here. They lost their lives, but they will never lose their names. These are indelibly etched in the hearts of their loved ones. Their surviving fellow prisoners. And all those determined never to allow such an atrocity to disgrace mankind again. So because their fathers and mothers and relatives remember them in their heart, they're saved. So salvation comes through my human sentiment. You get saved because your father loves you. You get saved because your mother loves you with a carnal love or with any kind of love. How could that save you? Because they remember you. Oh, he was such a nice kid. I love him. Okay, therefore you're saved. Well, then you're God. Each person is sort of like their own savior, you know. As long as somebody loved you when you were alive, you're saved. Is that what he's trying to say here? Right? And because he's talking about people got killed, he calls that an atrocity. Look what happened in Gaza. Why is that not an atrocity? What's his definition of atrocity? I mean, you know what I mean? Why is that not atrocity? To him, hell's an atrocity and a disgrace. Most of all, their names are forever fixed in the memory of Almighty God. What does he mean by that? I will say, yes, their names are fixed in the memory of God as reprobates, as damned human beings burning in the everlasting fires of hell. Just like when people go to prison, their names and fingerprints are taken, and they know who the prisoners are. That's the extent of it. He's implying, though, that they're saved. Am I not right? And he's saying all of them. All the so-called millions that got killed, and we know they didn't, but let's say they did even, and let's say there were 6 million. He's got them all saved. Is this not heresy? The opposite of what they tell. We can't tell anybody that say anyone's going to hell, but they sure got everybody going to heaven. He knows about every one of them 6 million Jews. He, the rat man, is Almighty God. In his omnipotent mind, he knows about every Jew. And he knows every one of them 6 million Jews was in a state of grace. They never did any evil. And they don't need to believe in Jesus. While denying Jesus, which is a dialogue at all. But he doesn't care what they believed in. He doesn't care what they did. He says they're all their names are written in the mind of as if they're saved. What an abomination this is. What a flattery. I'm telling you, apostate Jews, even get away from this man. Don't go near him. He stinks. He's lying to you. He doesn't love you. He's sending you, even you rabbis, you want to get angry at me? Fine. We'll go head to head. But I love you and he doesn't. But I love my God first and I'm doing it first for the glory of God and for the sake of your own soul. I'm not going to let stand by and watch you go to hell and be on the road to hell and lie to you like this man did. This man is even worse than the Jews. This man's even worse than the Jews. And look what he goes on. We're going to go on to say here. He goes about their name. Now look at this. He goes. One can rob a neighbor of possessions, opportunity or freedom. One can weave an insidious web of lies to convince others that certain groups are undeserving of respect. Yet try as one might, one can never take away the name of a fellow human being. That is just plain goofy. I mean, I never heard anything stupider than that. Take away a name? What does a name got to... You know what he's trying to say, though. He, without coming out, maybe saying, you're saying that, take away, what is a name? A name could be bad. Ultimately, your name's either going to be an infamy or it's going to be blessed. Now, I'm going to read about what our Lord talks about names here. They're talking about names, right? Our Lord says that when people die, your name is either going to be an everlasting disgrace or your name's going to be an everlasting blessed in heaven. He's telling you that as long as you have a name, Mr. Now, I would like to speak to the rabbi and say, do you mean just Jewish names? Or like if I spoke to like a Hindui or a Hindu or anyone else, does his name matter too? As long as he has a name. So you mean to say, if somebody gets born and they don't give him a name, he's in trouble. Don't give him a name. Don't give him no name. Just call him no name. Come over here, no name. But then that would be a name. So you better not call him anything. Because the minute he gets a name, he's saved. See what I mean? The minute you get a name, you're saved. This is salvation by the fact that you have a name. What does it mean? It's salvation because you're a human being. That's really what he's saying. All human beings are saved. And you're all precious in the eyes of God. This little mushy teddy bear, God's going to bring you all up to heaven, but just because you have a name. So remember, folks, according to the rant man, you better name your kid as soon as possible. Because if he's born, you don't got to baptize him. He doesn't even got to be baptized into the Catholic Church. He can be a Hindu and just give him a name. Because if that kid's born and you didn't name him until the third day after he's born, he dies without a name, he ain't got no hope. This is plain goofy, folks. Goofy. Natural law can expose this. If that rat man was here, he better watch out. I'll box his ears in. I'll hang him upside down. I'll skewer him on a stick. And I'll put his head up on a pike hanging outside our property. With demon horns on him. Look at this. This is unbelievable. But look what the prophet Isaiah says about the name of the Jews. Now he's talking about the name of the Jews when they reject Christ. Because Jews were God's chosen people in the Old Covenant, but no longer. Now they're Catholics. It doesn't have to do, it's Jews and Gentiles. Look. Isaiah 65:14-15. Behold, my servant shall rejoice and you shall be confounded. Apostate Jews he's talking about. Behold, my servant shall praise for joyfulness of heart, faithful Jews, and you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and you shall howl for grief of spirit, and you shall leave your name for an execration to my elect. And the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, Catholic. At Acts 11:6, it was at Antioch when they were first called Christians. All right? He's really making you believe that the name Jew, that's what the rat man's saying, because you're a Jew, that the name Israeli is blessed by God simply because of the name. But now that wasn't even true in the Old Covenant, by the way, folks. Not even then. But even now, the Catholics are God's chosen people. They even lost their hierarchy of position as God's chosen people. Now it's Catholics. But even back then, if you were a bad Jew, you were ousted. Now look at the book of Proverbs says about names. The blessing of the Lord is upon the head of the just, but iniquity covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is with praises, and the name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs 10:6-7. The name of the wicked shall rot. So what is this thing about name? Name. Name. It doesn't mean all Jews are going to be saved because they got a Jewish name. Then what about the Gentile name? You're prejudiced. That's racism. This is racism, by the way, folks. That's why I believe this rat man is a Talmudic Jew. This is racism to the highest degree. If I was a person of another race and I was to believe this thing, I'd say, your God is a racist, unjust, unfair God. And I say to those people, no, he isn't. The true God always, always, always punishes his own people even worse when they go bad and sends them to hell. Don't listen to what you're being told here by these liars. Just because they have a name. Let's read again over here in Matthew 3:7-10. And seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, this is John the Baptist, you brood of vipers. He called these Jews brood of vipers, and they all had a name. They all had a name, and they're Jews, and the Baptists call them brood of vipers. According to the rat man, their name is all their names are blessed, and they're with God in blessedness. He goes, you brood of vipers. Listen to what John the Baptist says to them. You brood of vipers, you evil Jews, who have showed you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of penance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I tell you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. For now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that doth not yield fruit, good fruit, shall be cut down and cast into the fire. The Holocaust. Rat man, that's an everlasting fire. That's not a fire that burns the flesh and kills you in about 5 minutes max. It's a fire that burns forever. And John the Baptist told these Jews, you're heading into that fire. And they all had names, Mr. Ratman. They all had names. Caiaphas was one of them. Ananias was another of them. And there was 90% of them that went to hell that didn't believe in Jesus. And they all had names. And they're all in hell with their names. So stop lying to people. Stop lying to people. Even goodwill people can look at this gesture, this phony baloney hypocrisy coming out of your mouth. Now look, here's what the Ratman goes on to say after what we just read. He goes on to say, sacred scripture teaches us the importance of names. Here we go with the names again. In conferring upon someone a unique mission or a special gift. Well, fine. God called Abram, Abraham, because he was to become the father of many nations. Yes, not just the Jewish nation, anyway. Jacob was called Israel because he had contended with God and man and prevailed. The names in, okay, fine. These are the names of holy men. These are the names whose memory shall last forever in heaven. So what? Now he's going to link him with all the Jews. Now is the link with, because you're racial Jews. Watch. The names enshrined in this hallowed monument will forever hold a sacred place among the countless descendants of Abraham. All so-called 6 million who were supposedly killed in the Holocaust, who really weren't, but let's say they were. All of them are sacred. All of them are saved. Every one of them. But how quick they are to jump on us when we say one person's on the road to hell. Or Judas is damned because Christ told us. Here, he's got all 6 million being saved simply because they're descendants racially of Abraham. He goes on to say, like his, their faith was tested. What faith? What faith? What does Talmudic Judaism teach? It is it's a religion of witchcraft. They're warlocks. They're perverts. In that religion, they say Christ was an apostate. Christ was a devil. Christ wasn't God. Christ wasn't the Messiah. Mary was, I don't want to say it. You know what they say about Mary? Even if they didn't say that, they don't believe in Jesus. So what faith is being tested? They got no faith. They were being punished by God, even if that thing did happen. But I tell you, folks, they're going to get this Holocaust in the end at Kidron Valley that they've been looking forward to. But that's nothing, really. Because the people that died in World War II were not just Jews, Muslims, Protestants, they're all in hell burning forever. Where is there any mention of hell in all of this? You understand? Now he says they have faith. All of them. Faith. I'm going to read the quotes and refute him again after this. Like his, their faith was tested. Like Jacob, they were immersed in a struggle to discern the designs of the Almighty. Many, may the names of these victims never perish. May their suffering never be denied, belittled, or forgotten. No, their suffering is not forgotten. I can hear it right now. I did, you know, God, let me hear it. They're screaming out in hell right now, burning forever, and you can't imagine the screams of these people in hell. So their suffering will not be forgotten. It will be remembered forever, because they will suffer forever, as they are now, in eternal hell. Suffering. This is Protestant mentality too. I mean, even Christ tells good Catholics to carry the cross and all this. I mean, that can only apply to Catholics, can die as martyrs. Nobody else. Even if a Protestant dies for the name of Christ, it's worthless. Even if he sheds his blood for the name of Christ, if he's not in the church, he goes to hell. Everlasting hellfire, it says in there. So he's pretending these people have the faith. And may all people of goodwill remain vigilant and rooting out from the heart of many of men anything that could lead to tragedy such as this. So now he's saying just because they're Abraham's children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're saved. But let's listen to what Jesus says. Jesus Christ says. I tell you something. You know what? This guy, you can't say he doesn't read his Bible so he's ignorant of it. He knows it. He doesn't like it, folks. He hates the New Testament. That's why I say he's an apostate Jew, these modernists that corrupted the whole Bible. All you got to do is open up your Bible. You refute these guys all over the place. Let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 8:11-12. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's referring to Gentiles now, east, west. Gentiles from all over the world are going to come into his church and be saved. But the children of the kingdom, the racial Jews, shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does he know about this verse? He said every one of those Jews is in heaven and they're sacred because they're racial children of Abraham. Every one of them. That's what the rat man said. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Paul said in Galatians. When Paul comes out in Galatians and he says, Galatians 3:7, know ye therefore that they who are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:7 and 3:26. It's the faith of Abraham that you must share and that he had in God to be true children of God. Even Romans 9:8 says, not those who are the children of the flesh are the children of God, racial Jews, but those who are the children of the promise, who hold the faith. And what faith is that you in the New Covenant era but the Catholic faith? He's telling you that all these Jews' names are sacred in God simply because they're children, racial children of Abraham. Folks, that's racism. Hitler never preached such racism ever. He loved the other races and wanted them to come up to German standards. Jewish racism hates other people, really hates them. They think they're goy cattle with no souls. And Hitler never believed simply because you're German, all Germans are good. I've never seen such a racism in my life that people are swallowing down. Starting from Nostra Aetate, paragraph 4, that says all Jews should be looked upon as blessed and not cursed from God. He's just fulfilling this heresy that came out in the apostate Second Vatican Council. Now let's look at what Jesus said to these Jews. Let's see what Jesus said to these Jews. And all these Jews have names. Yes, they do, rat man. They got names. And their name ain't going to save them. Where did he get that from anyway? By thy name thou shalt be saved. You know what I mean? Yes. By thy name thou shalt be saved. He who believeth in his own name shall be saved. Just make sure they name you. And instead of make sure you baptize your kid, you better name him. Because if you name him, he's covered, man. As long as he's a Jew now. Gentile names don't count. We throw them out. They have to do a little bit more, Gentiles, you know. All right, let me look at this here. Now let's look at what Jesus said to these guys. About these guys. These bad guys. You just hear the Rantman say, because they have they're Jews and they're Abraham's a racial father, he said their names are sacred. Listen to what Jesus says to these unbelieving Jews, to these evil Jews. And mind you, Jesus is talking to Jews that refuse to believe he is the Son of God and the Messiah. The same Jews that are in Israel today, am I right? Ain't no difference. Look what Jesus says in John chapter 8, starting with verse 40. They answered and said to him, the evil Jews, Abraham is our father, racially. Jesus said to him, if you be the children of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I have heard from God. This Abraham did not. You do the works of your father. Jesus told them this. They said therefore to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus therefore said to them, if God were your father, you would indeed love me, Jesus Christ. From God I proceeded and I came not of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my word, the Catholic faith, because you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. Here are racial children of Abraham, who Jesus said, your father is the devil. Your name is reprobated in eternal hell if you don't repent. He says, and he was a murderer from the beginning and a father of the lie. That's what Jesus says about the Jews that didn't believe in him, who were racial Jews. That their father is not God, that their name is not sacred with God, that their father is a devil, and that they will end up in hell if they don't repent and accept him. Simply because they didn't believe in him. And he says, if you believed in the true God, you would have believed in me, but because you do not believe in me, you don't even believe in the true Moses. He goes on and says that in John 5, chapter 5, verse 45, or 40, right in that area. Now, yeah. All right. Let's go on here. Next section. Let me take a little drink here for a second. I got to finish it. It's a knockout punch here, these things. I know sometimes you think you're talking, you know, like, am I living in a crazy world here? Does anybody see what I see here? No, they do. I know they do. And some of them will listen.
Cora had a name. You got swallowed
now. Sister Marie just said Cora had a name. It's the system of Cora. And he was a Jew. And where did he end up, folks? That's dogma. Inhale. And 249 other people that followed him that day, hell opened up the earth. He went down to hell alive. So what about that rat man, the name of Kor, child of Abraham racially, but he's in hell forever. It's in the Bible. And the next day, God killed 14,500 more Jews by a fire, by a holocaust. Read your Bible, rat man. The next day, God burned 14,500 Jews and sent them to hell, and they all had names. So, this salvation by name alone, as long as it's a Jewish name, is hogwash. It's hogwash. It's hogwash. And that these Jews are sitting down looking at you, they're gonna, unless you're one of them, and I think he is, then they're gonna reward them. You watch it. A false prophet of the Vatican II Church is ultimately gonna be one of the false prophets. Eternally turns over the whole house eventually. But I'm giving this sermon for maybe people even over there in the Vatican right now to wake up like this. Get out of here. Stop giving your allegiance to these phony balonies. All right, now, let's go on to his Yad Vashem sermon. The Catholic Church, committed to the teachings of Jesus and intent on imitating his love for all people, feels deep compassion for the victims. Remember here, deep compassion. Yeah, he loves all people. That's not the point. Do you love him? Allah said, if you loveth me, keep my commandments. He that loveth me keeps my commandments. Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, if thou wilt enter to life, keep the commandments. That's true love. It's not a matter of God loving you, it's you loving God back. And that's proved by obeying all of his commandments, as only Catholics can do. So that's not the issue. And first of all, Christ has no compassion on people in hell. Once they're in hell, there is no love in hell. Hell is a place of, eternal hell is a place of everlasting hate. There's no grace. There's everlasting. The only grace God, only thing that's not even grace, has is to sustain them to suffer. He has no compassion. The only people you're allowed to hate as Catholics. These are the three things, and it's going to get into what we're going to talk about right now. To be saved, Catholics must hate, or they can't be saved. They have to hate sin, and they have to hate all forms of sin. And they have to hate devils, and they have to hate damned human beings who are in hell. Those are the three things we must hate. We must hate the ones that ended up in hell because they're eternally lost, eternally reprobated. We can't even have an ounce of any type of love or affection toward it. We must hate them. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us to hate sin even though we love the sinner. That's true, but we hate sin. And if we don't hate sin, we can't be saved. All right? Now, that's why these Jews that died unbelieving are in hell. There's no compassion down there. Now he goes, similarly, she, the Catholic Church, so-called, draws close to all those who today are subjected to persecution on account of race, color. Now I would agree, race or color, if it's just that reason. Condition of life. That's ambiguous. Condition of life? Homo? Homosexual? Adulterer? Or just because you're poor? Poor is poor, accepted. Class warfare? What do you mean condition of life? What does that mean? Here's the worst one, though. Here's a Lollapalooza. She draws close to all those who today are subject to persecution on account of race, color, condition of life, or religion. Or religion. So that means the Catholic Church respects all these other false religions, and she actually goes out and helps you propagate them, respects them, and allows you to go out and propagate, because God just loves false religions. God just loves false gods. The purpose of the church was to go out there and allow everybody to worship every god in any way they want, instead of condemning their false gods, condemning their false religions, condemning their mortal sins, and calling them into the one true church. Religion, he said there. Religion. That's apostasy. That's idolatry. That means he respects and he actually glorifies all these false religions. That's what he said here. That's not the job of the Catholic Church. That is evil. And even a false antichrist is not going to allow that, because he's going to want you to believe in his religion. So he's going to be the first one, in a way, he's going to do a good job in this area. He's going to eliminate all that religious and different stuff and say everyone's got to believe in him, and he's going to wipe out false religions. But this is even worse, because here's a man who calls himself a Catholic, and he's saying the true God respects all religions and all false gods, instead of condemning them. No, the Catholic Church condemns them. It's your job to do our best to totally eradicate them, to condemn them, condemn and denounce the people that belong to them. Tell them they're evil. Tell them they're on the road to hell. As Bishop of Rome and successor of the Apostle Peter, wrong. There's the big lie. That's even the worst part. Was that the Peter from the book of Acts that I just read? Are you a successor to him? No, I'm sorry, pal. Oh boy, I can't wait. I wish I had these guys right in front of my face here. Okay, I reaffirm, like my predecessors, of the Vatican II Church, that the Church is committed to praying and working tirelessly to ensure that hatred will never reign in the hearts of men again. Hatred will never reign. We are against all hatred. Except Ibrani, we can hate him. No. Against all hatred, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of peace. Peace. Here we see his heresy that God is going to give peace to evildoers. Since when did God promise peace for evildoers? The only people God gives peace to are good Catholics. Jesus said that in Luke 14:27. My peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Not as the world giveth on you do I give you peace. And then the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 57:21, there shall be no peace for the wicked. And Jesus Christ said it in Matthew 10:34-36. Do not, this is Jesus speaking, open up your ears and clean out the wax. The cement. He's got cement in there. We got to get one of those cement drill things and drill out this. If I had that, I'd go right to his brain. He won't have to worry about hearing after I get done with him. I'll get one of those big drills and I'll drill it right to his brain. And all that ugly, smelly stuff will come out of there. Oh, we got to get onto this one. Look what Jesus says about it. Do not think that I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. Matthew 10:34. I came to set a man of variance against his father and a daughter against the mother and the daughter-in-law against the mother. A man's enemies shall be in his own household. What is this man talking about? The God of peace. What peace is he talking about? A carnal peace. A peace amongst evildoers. You know, if God just left evildoers to go and let them do whatever they want, like Pelagianists believe in deists, that God's distant, doesn't help them, man will kill himself. Man would have a horrible, wretched world because he's evil. He's got original sin. He needs the true God. All good comes from the true God. Without him, you can't have peace. It's impossible to have peace. God doesn't have to interfere and do anything. He's just got to let you go on your own. You're damned. You're doomed. There is no peace. Even if I was in a state of grace and I was the greatest saint that ever existed, the ones that are in heaven right now, if God pulls his grace away from them saints in heaven, they are reprobates. They are damned. They are perverted. They got no hope. He's trying to tell you you can have a peace without the true God. He's saying that God allows the world to have peace in spite of the fact that it sins against the true God. Where is he getting this doctrine from? From hell. Straight out of the devil. And that's when he says he's the God of peace. No, what do you mean peace? Peace. He don't give peace to the wicked. True peace anyway can only come through the true God, and that means you have to eradicate evil. And that gets to this other point where he says, hatred's evil. All hatred's evil? All hatred's evil? Alright, what did King David say in Psalm 96:10? You that love the Lord, hate evil. Proverbs 8:7. My mouth shall meditate truth, and my lips shall hate wickedness. Proverbs 18:13. The fear of the Lord hateth evil. I hate arrogance and pride in every wicked way, and a mouth with a double tongue. I hate these things. It's the job of a Catholic to hate sin. And love the sinner. But hate sin. Hate it in all its forms. The worst sins that ever committed are false religions and false gods. And then you have to hate all the moral sins against the moral law too. You must hate sin. And you must denounce those who are committing these sins and call them to conversion. Let's go on and read here in Ecclesiasticus 17:23. Return to the Lord and turn away from thy injustice. And greatly hate abominations. Amos 5:14-15. Seek ye good and not evil, that you may live, and the Lord the God of hosts will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish judgment in the gate. I ask you, apostate rat man, am I supposed to love adultery or hate it? Am I supposed to love when people come in and steal, or am I supposed to hate that? Am I supposed to love the sin of pedophilia? Am I supposed to love what these priests are doing by raping little children? Or am I supposed to hate that? Am I supposed to hate that? Hate with a perfect hatred what these priests are doing when they're raping little kids? Is that supposed to be love? And these pedophilias are ones who push the limit on love to the sinner. You even got to love him bad as he is, but they push the limit on that. But I abhor them. You can absolutely, you must abhor sinners. There's a difference. When you abhor somebody, it doesn't mean you hate them. As long as they're alive, everybody still has a chance to convert. I don't care how bad they are. But the worse their sins are, and if they're really bad, you can abhor them. And it would be our duty, if we were in power, to kill these pedophiles. We'd give them 3 months to save their souls. We'd lock them up on bread and water and pray for them. And we'd still kill them. That's automatic death penalty. They never get one time. You do it once. You're dead. We will give you 3 months to repent, but you're dead. I abhor that. I hate that. Tell me, rat man, am I supposed to love that? He does. I believe he's a homosexual too. They have proof on that. Look what's going on in that false church over there. Now let's look what Jesus says when he's speaking to St. John in the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 2, 4 to 6. But I have some, he's talking about these one people that weren't evangelizing the way they should. But I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first charity. Be mindful, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and do penance, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee, and will move thy candlestick out of this place, except thou do penance. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaites, which I also hate. That's Jesus speaking. They were heretics, the Nicolaites. And Jesus says, there are works I hate. There are beliefs I hate. There's sins I hate. That's Jesus saying I hate. Ratman says we're going to eradicate all hate. Well, then you can't be saved. That's a denial of original sin. There's your denial of original sin. He thinks everything is good, everything is holy, everything is sanctified, everything. And if it isn't, what's that? The opposite is evil. It's sin. He denies original sin. He denies mortal sin. Remember the prophet Isaiah said, oh, woe to you who call evil good and good evil? Isn't that what he's telling you, that we shouldn't hate? You can't be saved unless you hate sin. You can't be saved unless you abhor obstinate sinners. You can't be saved unless you denounce sinners, obstinate sinners, to the severity of their crimes. So there he's telling you there should be no hatred. He's promising this false peace that Gruner speaks about, this worldly peace. How could the one true God give peace to people that disobey him and worship false gods? What kind of a world is this that don't give credit to the God who created them? That's even keeping them alive right now, in spite of all their sins. None of this is being brought to the attention of people. Instead, these false gods are being idolized, and these false religions are being idolized and respected and put up on a pedestal by bastards like the Rat Man. All right, now, we'll just finish this. He goes on to say, gazing upon the faces reflected in the pool that lies in stillness within this memorial. What is that? Is that the Holy Eucharist? Is that the Holy Eucharist? Is it baptismal waters? What is this pool he's talking about? What is that about? Sounds like a Masonic ritual or something. You got demons in there. Of course you know that. Gazing upon the faces reflected in the pool that lies in stillness within this memorial. You know, because they're all looking in a pool. That's flattery, you know. Is this a bit of flattery or what? Big deal! Man, a kid knows that from as soon as he gets old enough to, he got eyeballs and he can look in water and see his reflection come back at him. What is that all about? This is all that subtlety. This is what people go to school to learn in theophilosophy. They learn how to talk like this. Gazing upon the faces reflected in a pool that lies in stillness within this memorial. It's gazing upon all you people here, says all the apostate Jews. One cannot help but recall how each one of them bears a name.
Oh, there we go.
They have a name. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I can only imagine the joyful expectation of their parents as they anxiously awaited the birth of their children. What name shall we give this child? I don't know, but you better name him quick. What name shall we give this child? What is to become of him or her? What is to become? You're going to die. I always tell people this. I used to tell people when I was in school. I used to go in and, when I was young, and I went in once and I said, my mother's dying. And he went, it went through the whole school. Brandy's mother's dying. Rich, I'm sorry. What's wrong with her? Well, there's no real sickness, but we're all dying. From the day you're born, you're dying. Am I right? Am I right or am I wrong? All right? What kind of goofy stuff is this? The mere fact that you're a human, that you were born, and that your parents loved you, and because you have a name, and because you're going to die, you're saved. That's it. Wow, that's even worse than Luther. Yeah. Didn't Luther at least say you got to believe in Jesus?
Yeah, they're believing their own
names. Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, who could have imagined that they would be condemned to such a deplorable fate? Well, what's the fate, okay? He's talking about the so-called Holocaust. Well, even if that did happen, it would have been about 5 minutes of pain in which you died. You have your choice on how you're going to die. Cancer, really slow on a bed, suffering really bad. You can get hit by a car accident, maybe die real quick, or suffer. But you're all going to die. Is this what he's talking about? It's a shame he's blaming God for bringing the death penalty upon mankind. But he's speaking the truth here like Caiaphas, and he doesn't know it. This is a Caiaphas truth. He didn't mean it this way, but it's true. Who could have imagined that they would have been condemned to such a deplorable fate? Eternal hell. He's not meaning that, but that's true. That's where they are. And he says, who could have imagined? A Catholic could, easy. What do you mean? I don't going to imagine. It's dogma, pal. Get rid of your imagination. It runs wild. And it's not imagination. This guy's a deliberate infiltrator. Throw your imagination out. It stinks. Catholic dogma tells me they're in hell. Not only do I imagine it, it has nothing to do with my imagination, first of all. It doesn't. I believe it because God's told me that no Jew, no heretic, no schismatic should have a life to share an eternal life unless before he dies he comes into the bosom of the Catholic Church. If not, he perishes in everlasting hellfire. Now he goes, as we stand here in silence, their cry still echoes in our hearts. It is a cry raised against every act of injustice and violence. He told another Caiaphas truth. He did. He says their cry is raised up in, even now. Correct. If they were in heaven, they won't be crying at all. You better believe they're crying. And it's worse. You don't even use the word cry in hell. Howl. They're howling with pain and agony and hatred. It's beyond cry. So he's telling the truth. That he doesn't, not the kind of truth he wants. You know? Because look, what is he complaining about? If they're in heaven, so the Nazis did you a favor, like Diocletian when he killed all the martyrs. I mean, what kind of stupid stuff is... First of all, yeah, they are crying, but they're howling in hell forever. He goes, it is a perpetual reproach against the spilling of innocent blood. Of innocent blood. Of innocent blood. All 6 million of them so-called, and we know they weren't, but they're all innocent, says Ratman. Every one of them was innocent. This is a denial of original sin, folks, because they weren't baptized. None of them. That's strike number one. They were guilty of the blood of Christ because they were racial Jews who denied Jesus. Guilt number two. They worshipped the false God and false religion of Talmudic Judaism by rejecting Christ. Mortal sin against the faith number three. Sin that puts them on the road to hell. He said they're innocent. He didn't make any qualification. It goes back to Nostra Aetate chapter 4 that said all Jews should be looked upon as blessed and not as if they were cursed as it flows from Holy Scriptures. He called them innocent. Wake up, people. Wake up, you Jews. I know you Jews are sitting in the background laughing at this man unless he's an infiltrator. If he's a Jew, you're thanking him in the back room and reveling it up in the back room because he's only doing what he should do. But if he's a Freemasonic idiot, you're laughing at him. Because a lot of your Freemasons go along with this stuff and are not direct Talmudic Jewish infiltrators, but because of their Masonic credo, they have to support the Jew. You may as well have his hand in the back of your spine. He's moving your head and everything. He's laughing at you. He got no respect for you when you come out and say stuff like that. That's stupid. Even the Louis Tory Carta Jews and the Jews that are the lesser of evils, they know Jews are evil. They'll come out and tell you that. They'll say they're being punished. And that's why God took their temple away. They're less dishonest than these other Jews. They listen to the rat saying something like this. This isn't true. Was Kor innocent? Were the people that Moses killed at the bottom of Mount Sinai, were those Jews innocent? How come those Jews weren't innocent? And Moses killed them. 23,000 Jews. How come these Jews are innocent? What happened here? See that? That's an abomination. It's apostasy. Now look what he goes on. He compares them to Abel. He said, it is the cry of Abel rising from the earth to the Almighty. No, it's the cry of Cain. Right after all this is happening too, he promised that Ashkenazi rabbi that he's no longer going to even attempt to do missionary efforts against Jews because they don't need to convert. That's been done long ago. But you realize too, even in the Mass, when he allowed Tridentine Mass to be reset again, or especially the Holy Week services when they prayed for the conversion of the Jews, well, the Jews had that prayer removed for a long time. It was really removed. And then he put it back in, but he had to take out a part of it because the Jews were so angry. So he promised that he would take a part out. But they still weren't happy because they wanted it all removed. But here's what he did, what he took out of that prayer. This is the rat man denying that the Jews are under a veil of darkness. Remember what St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:14-16? Get the scripture so I can get it, so I can remember it. We're almost done here. Oh, everybody, all little lollipops and teddy bears. Popcorn candy. What is that other stuff they got? What's that other?
Cotton candy.
That's what I'm thinking about. What is cotton candy? Full of air. Right? I never liked this stuff. Sorry, folks.
All right.
First of all, the dogma is because these Jews don't believe in Jesus. Of course, they don't. Jesus told them, you don't even believe in the old covenant. Because if you did and believe in what Moses taught, you would believe in me. But because you don't believe what Moses spoke. So they don't really believe in the old covenant. And St. Paul even says in 2 Corinthians 3:14-16, but the Jews, their senses were made dull unto this present day. For unto this present day, the selfsame veil and the reading of the Old Testament remaineth not taken away, because in Christ it is made void. But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. But only when they shall be converted to the Lord and believe in Jesus Christ, the Catholic Christ, the veil shall be taken away. Look what the rat man took out of that prayer. I'm going to read from it. Quote unquote, Pope Benedict XVI has changed traditional Good Friday prayer, which called for the conversion of the Jews by removing references to the blindness in their hearts and the veil. In recent years, only the traditional Latin Mass has used the Good Friday prayer. The new translation of the Good Friday prayer has removed mention of the blindness and a veil of darkness in reference to those of the Jewish faith. The Italian news agency of ANSA has supplied a partial unofficial translation of the prayer, which says, let us pray also for the Jews, that the Lord our God may illuminate their hearts, and that they also may acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ. It would be nice if they do, but they don't have to. Illumine their heart a little bit. We even ask to be enlightened, even Catholics in the state of grace. That doesn't say they're on the road to hell. Of course, because he doesn't believe they are. He got rid of the real prayer. Okay, so look what he's saying in here. It's not saying that the Jews are damned. He's just saying, may the Lord God illuminate their hearts. And may they acknowledge Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, gee, it would be real nice and neat if you would just believe in Jesus. But no, you don't have to, though. I'm not oppressing you. I don't want to say that you're not chosen by God. You're still holy people. But it just would be nice. You know. Like, why? Why? For what reason? If I'm already saved. All right? Here's what the prayer actually says. Let us also pray for the perfidious Jews, that our God and Lord would withdraw the veil from their hearts, that they also may acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ. Veil upon their hearts means they're in darkness and outside the church. He removed that, the rat man. No, was it the rat man? Yeah. Yeah, it was. And he did that, but this has been going on for a long time, since even before Apostate Vatican II in New Jersey, especially Seton Hall University with their Judaism department over there. They've been working on taking all negative reference to the Jews out of the scriptures, presenting the Jews as God's chosen people, and holy and blessed by God. Anyway, that's something he didn't put in there neither. So all these dogmas are being denied all over the place, you see? So what are you looking at with the rat man? He doesn't believe in original sin, and he doesn't believe in mortal sin. And he's a racist. He exalted the Jewish race simply because of their race. This man is the biggest phony baloney. And I say to even people out there who are not Catholic, I'm saying it to the pagan in Africa and the Chinese person in China, if he's listening to me now, even they know it, if they're of goodwill. They're going to listen to him and say, you know, I don't know many things, but this guy's a hypocrite. This guy's not even true. Why are you even a Catholic? Why do you believe in Jesus even? What's the purpose of the Holy Eucharist and baptism? What a hypocrite this man. He talks about the Nazis and the Gaza people who were just murdered and left for dead right next to him. And he didn't even go over there and say, and he didn't say anything about it, let alone go there and draw attention to the world community to it. Don't think these people aren't looking at this man. I'm telling you people, what we do, this man is not Catholic. This man is not a true pope. He's an apostate anti-pope. The whole Vatican II Church is not. It's a spiritual harlot. Just like the United States, and it will be destroyed. All right? And I'm just trying to tell you that the Catholic God don't go for this nonsense. Right now, he's been given a very bad name around the whole world. Just like the Jews gave him a bad name in the old covenant of Ur. When they filled the cup of their wrath up so far, then God destroyed them. You watch what's going to happen to these apostate Catholics very shortly. They're worse than even the Jews. Worse than even the Jews. All right, end of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.